Well, I want to just listen to that. Man. Billy Taylor died, 89 years old, jazz educator, jazz player, jazz composer. You know, and for me, Billy Taylor is special because every New Year's Eve when I was alone, long before I had a career, when I was living out in the West Coast all by myself, I used to celebrate New Year's Eve by listening to his public radio broadcasts that rang in the new year in jazz. Billy Taylor played with some of the greats and was one of the greats. Here's Billy Taylor on Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz First Episode Show.
Well, this is a tune I wrote some time ago. It was based on improvisation. We were asked to play at a dinner some years ago, and it was for the a group called the National Council for the Arts and Government. And every time you do something like that, you always get some wise guy, and he says, "Can't you improvise something on our initials, NCAG?" And so obviously we couldn't do anything with the N, but the CAG we made up a tune on, and it sounds like this.
He could do almost anything. Joining us now to talk about Billy Taylor, his impact on jazz, his impact on education, and his impact on public radio, Steve Rath, president of Murray Street Productions and senior producer of jazz at Lincoln Center Radio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, John.
And also Thurston Briscoe, vice president of programming and production for Newark Public Radio, WBGO, Jazz 88.3 FM, one of the best jazz stations in the country. Thurston, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, both of you had, you know, have worked with Billy Taylor. Give me a sense of what it was like to work with him as a broadcaster and as a performer. Thurston?
I didn't work with the Jazz Alive program. So I came along and worked with Jazz Alive after Billy, but I worked with him on a day-to-day basis. It's like he was a man who didn't really have anything negative about him. He was knowledgeable, but he always wanted to know what you had to give to the situation.
I mean, to have someone who is such a great performer and who's played with so many greats, but to have no sense of that performer ego, Steve Rath, is that unique in your experience?
Absolutely. It is so uncommon to have somebody available as a host, which is why we chose him, who was an authority on the situation. So he didn't merely bring radio broadcasting and television broadcasting skills and public speaking skills, but he really knew the performers, knew all the music that we were talking about, and often would correct scripts or interrupt the session to recollect a little bit about playing with Dizzy or Miles or Ella Fitzgerald or somebody who was on the show. It was quite an amazing experience, and he was always an educator.
And his voice and his sense of being something of an archivist of the jazz and the African-American experience is best summed up in this incredible song. Here's the Billy Taylor Trio playing "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free." You know, Thurston Briscoe, when I hear that song, it gives me goosebumps, and I think of it as something that came out of the American Revolution. It's almost impossible to imagine that somebody actually composed that. It feels like a folk song instantaneously.
You know, I don't know everything about the song, but I know he wrote it for his daughter.
Really?
During the Civil Rights era. And, you know, Billy is one of those people. He was, I don't want to be trite, He was the jack of all trades and a master of all. He put his mind to it, and he had the skills to make things work. You know, he just did. I can't explain it. But think about writing something for one of your children and coming up with something that Nina Simone and Derek Trucks have covered.
And that the whole world can sing. Steve Rath, he broadened the sort of cultural identity of public radio almost single-handedly. He's certainly known for his work on CBS television and did jazz television programs long ago as 1958. But he had a direct impact on public radio's voice, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that was, I think, that one of the reasons that we asked him to be host of Jazz Alive and to host those New Year's Eve broadcasts that you remember was because of his diverse skills. I mean, he could speak to everyone. He could certainly speak the argot of jazz. He'd been playing with the Beboppers since 1942 or so when he came to New York. But he also could lecture and speak to, as it were, white people. Who were in the majority public radio's audience, especially at that time. So he really could speak across boundaries. And he also helped to define jazz. I mean, Nobody had tried to create a definition of jazz before he did his doctorate and tried to actually put it on paper, what it was and what it wasn't. And he was probably the first to call it America's classical music.
Steve Rath, president of Murray Street Productions, senior producer of jazz at Lincoln Center Radio, who worked with Billy Taylor on the Jazz Alive broadcast for public radio. Thurston Briscoe, before we go, in many ways he is the direct inspiration for the educational mission of people like Wynton Marsalis. His importance as an educator, before we go.
Unending. He just did. His impact was everything we know about public radio in many instances and jazz. Comes from Billy, comes from Miriam McPartland. He was an award winner without name of award. He created something that cannot be duplicated.
And we'll all be thinking of him. I know that the two of you will be thinking of him at midnight on New Year's Eve. Thurston Briscoe, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Thurston Briscoe is Vice President of Programming and Production for Newark Public Radio. Also, Steve Rath, President of Murray Street Productions. We all rang in the new year with Billy Taylor at some point in our careers.